Welcome back. In this lesson, we're getting into a very classic, but still super useful DNB workflow, the edit bounce method using groove pull tricks in Ableton Live 12. If you want that chopped, pressure-heavy jungle feel, that old-school ragga energy, or a modern roller that still has some grime and swing in its bones, this is a really powerful way to work. The big idea is simple. We start with a break. We edit it like a performance. We bounce those edits into audio, and then we bring groove pull into the picture to shape the feel. That way the drums don't sound like they were just copied and pasted on a grid. They feel played, they feel alive, they have movement, attitude, and a little danger. And that matters a lot in drum and bass, because the drums are not just keeping time. They are the identity of the tune. The sub might carry the weight, but the drum edit is what gives you the personality, the switch-ups, the little fills, the DJ-friendly transitions, and those moments where the crowd goes, yeah, that's the one. So let's build this step by step. First, set your project tempo somewhere in the classic range, around 170 to 174 BPM. Load up a break that has character. Amen, think break, dusty funk break, whatever fits your style. If you need to warp it, keep it as natural as possible. In a lot of cases, you want the break to breathe, not get overprocessed before you even start. On the break track, a simple starting chain is drum bus, EQ8, and maybe a little saturator. Keep the low-end rumble under control with the high pass, usually somewhere around 25 to 35 Hz if needed. If the break is a little too polite, a small amount of saturation can bring out the crackle and grit. But don't flatten it yet. The goal is to preserve the original motion of the break while preparing it for editing. Now here's where the method starts to get interesting. Instead of just slicing the break randomly, build a MIDI performance first. Use Simpler in slice mode or a drum rack with your break hits mapped out. Program the phrase like you're actually performing an edit in real time. Put the kick snare backbone in place, then add ghost notes, little rushes before the snare, and maybe a tiny off-grid stutter into the last hit of the bar. This is where you want to think like a drummer and an editor at the same time. Don't make every hit symmetrical. Don't over-quantize the life out of it. Old school jungle gets a lot of its charm from the fact that the edits are a little uneven. One bar might lean forward, the next might drag back just a touch. That asymmetry is part of the magic. A useful trick here is to save your most energetic movement for the end of the phrase. So maybe the last beat of bar 4, or the last beat of bar 8, gets a little 1/16 or 1/32 note cluster. That gives you a little rush into the loop reset. It feels like the break is breathing in before it hits again. Once that MIDI edit feels good, print it to audio. You can resample, freeze and flatten, or just record the performance to a new audio track. This is the edit bounce step, and it's important because now the edit becomes a real audio performance that you can shape directly. This gives you more control over transient shape, tail overlap, and micro timing than you'd usually get from MIDI alone. Now take that bounced audio and start treating it like finished material. You can keep it on an audio track and duplicate it every 2 or 4 bars, or slice it further if needed. If you want a more surgical approach, you can split it the important transients, the snare, the pickup, the reverse tail, the fill hit. The goal is to create phraseable chunks so you can rearrange the energy in a more deliberate way. This is one of the reasons the method works so well in DNB. Fast rhythms need precise control, and audio gives you that. You can keep the crack of the break, the dirt in the tail, and the exact way the slices overlap. MIDI can trigger the idea, but audio is where the edit starts to feel expensive. Now comes the fun part, groove pull. A lot of people think of groove pull as just a swing tool, but in jungle and old school DNB, it's more like a feel shaper. You're not just shifting timing, you're giving the break a personality. Start by auditioning some MPC-style grooves. You usually want something subtle, not an obvious house swing. Try values in the mid-50s, like 54 to 56, for a light push. If you want a little more lurch on the hats and ghost notes, go a bit higher, maybe 58 to 60 or even a touch more. When you apply the groove, don't apply it blindly to everything. This is important. Let the kick and sub relationship stay disciplined. Groove the top break slices, the hats, the ride fragments, and the fill crumbs more heavily than the low-end anchors. In other words, let the top of the rhythm dance while the foundation stays strong. That balance is what makes the groove feel human without making the whole drop feel drunk. Then print that groove-treated version again. Freeze it, flatten it, or resample it so the groove is committed to audio. Now you've got a final edit that already contains the movement you want. Test it against your bassline. If you've got a mono sub, keep it centered and clean. If you've got a reese or mid-bass layer, that can be wider and dirtier, but the low end needs to stay trustworthy. This is where you listen carefully from asking. If the brake tails are stepping on the sub, shorten the fades or high pass the brake bus a bit more aggressively. If the snare loses bite, because the groove softened it too much, bring back some attack with drum bus or a small EQ lift in the 2-5 kHz area. The goal is not sterile cleanliness. The goal is controlled aggression. The drums should feel alive while the sub remains solid on any system. Now let's talk arrangement, because this method is way bigger than just making a loop. Think of your edit bounce as a DJ tool. That means you want versions for different jobs. Maybe an intro version with just the break and atmosphere. Maybe a drop version with the full edit and bass. Maybe a switch-up version, where the groove is a little different and the fills are more aggressive. Maybe an outro version, where the bass drops out and the drums are left to mix cleanly. That's the old-school jungle mindset right there. Arrangement as club utility. Make the tune easy to mix, but still full of character. A strong example could be 16 bars of intro, 32 bars of first drop, 8 bars of breakdown, 32 bars of second drop with a slightly more aggressive edit bounce, and then a 16-bar outro for mixing out. And here's a very important advanced point. Don't just keep turning up the swing if the loop starts sounding repetitive. If the bounced edit begins to feel too looped, change the microstructure instead. Move one ghost hit. Remove one slice. Swap one tail for a reverse. Small changes often do more than another percentage of groove. That's a huge lesson in DNB. Transient density and groove depth need to be balanced. A heavily chopped bar usually wants less timing displacement than a sparse bar. If you swing a very dense edit too hard, it can lose its punch and start to feel blurry. Sometimes the best old-school bounce comes from making the second half of the bar slightly lazier than the first. That asymmetry feels more human than a perfectly even swing across the whole phrase. Now let's add some motion with automation. You do not want the whole thing to sit still. Automate filter cutoff on the break bus to build tension over 4 or 8 bars. Automate a little extra crunch or transient emphasis in drum bus as you move toward a drop or a fill. Use reverb only on selected snare hits or final punctuation hits. Maybe a delay on one chopped hit right before a transition. Little moves like that make the edit feel like it's speaking. Keep it subtle. In jungle and darker DNB, tiny automation can feel huge because the ear notices contrast so quickly. A filter sweep from a few hundred hertz up into the high end can make a break feel like it's exploding open. A little extra crunch on the last bar of a section can make the next phrase hit harder without changing the actual pattern much. Also, make sure your low end is locked. Keep your sub mono. Check the stereo width on any bass movement so the bottom stays solid. If the break is masking the kick fundamental, carve a little more out around 90 to 140 Hz on the break bus. If the snare is getting too soft, restore the attack. This is the constant DNB balancing act. The drums can be chaotic, but the low end has to stay honest. A good habit is to print a final performance pass once you're happy. Name your clips clearly. Something like break edit A1, break edit intro, break edit drop 2 swung. That saves a lot of time later, because otherwise you can end up staring at 12 nearly identical loops wondering which one was actually the good take. If you want extra dirt, make a parallel resample track and capture a version through heavier processing. You could do a little saturator, some redux, maybe a filtered ambience return from hybrid reverb. Blend that underneath the main edit at a low level. That hidden grime layer can make the drums feel bigger and older without sacrificing clarity. A few common mistakes to avoid here. 1. Don't groove everything equally. Keep the kick and sub more stable, and let the top slices move more. 2. Don't leave break tails too long after bouncing. Long tails can eat into the sub and make the whole mix feel cloudy. 3. Don't over-red it until the rhythm loses the head nod. Even the wildest jungle needs an anchor every few bars. 4. Don't use swing that feels too house-like. You want movement, not a relaxed dance floor shuffle that fights the genre. 5. Don't widen the bass more than the drums. Keep the sub mono and use width mainly on upper harmonics, FX, or top layers. Now, some pro tips for heavier and darker DNB. Print dirt in layers. Keep one clean bounce and one abused bounce. Blend the dirty one in quietly for weight. Use drum bus carefully. A little drive and crunch can make old school edits hit much harder, but too much will flatten the ghost notes that make jungle feel alive. Use reverse edits into the snare. That eerie pull-in effect can be huge when you groove it just slightly late. Let the bass answer the drum edit. If the break does a snare roll, have the bass drop out or answer with a short stab. Call and response is everything. And if you accidentally create a magic fill, bounce it immediately. In this style, Happy accidents are often the signature moments. Here's a really good practice exercise. Make a 4-bar jungle edit with a ghost note run, a snare pickup, and one fill bar. Bounce it to audio. Then try 2 grooves. One subtle, one looser. Apply the subtle one to the main loop and the looser one only to the last bar or fill. Resample both versions. Add a simple mono sub and a rough reese underneath. Then compare which edit supports the bass best and why. That's the real skill here. Not just making a cool break edit, but making one that works in context. One that feels alive, gritty, and controlled at the same time. One that can hit in the drop, work in the intro, and still give the selector a clean phrase to mix with. So remember the core workflow.